Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring impatient hanging bags and new planters, as well as bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me up big. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll I be without homegrown?
Good afternoon. This is KFSK Community Radio. It's that time again. Time for In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with me on the line from Juneau, Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hi there, Mindy. Hey, it stopped raining. I'm out here on my porch and eating, tasting an apple, which actually tastes a lot better than I thought it would. I could make pies with these.
All right. Are you so? How many do you have hanging on that tree? You got quite a few. Have you picked some?
There's about one pie's worth on this one. It's a Liveland raspberry, is a variety of apple. It's an early yellow apple. Turns yellow much like a yellow transparent.
Uh huh.
And there's others here too. So my neighbor has a big yellow transparent. We'll make pies from probably maybe another week. My daughter and her friend Stefan are visiting from. He's visiting from South Africa, so we're teaching him how to make my mother's garlic dill pickles.
And I know that you have lots of garlic, so perfect. And did they bring the pickles or the cucumbers?
They brought, yes. They actually, I talked to her last weekend to scout the farmer's markets around Santa Monica. So Tuesday morning, they went to the market and got the cucumbers, and they came up. Wednesday. No, I'm sorry. They picked them up on Wednesday morning, got on the plane in L.A., and flew up here last night. So they're as fresh as we can get them otherwise, although I've got some in my greenhouse, too, that are just about perfect, and we've been eating cucumbers, too. So we got fresh dill, fresh garlic, fresh cucumbers, which is really the fresher the better for making any kind of pickles, whatever you're pickling, whether that be zucchinis, carrots, cauliflower. We've done green beans, and I've done the edible potted peas, and there's all sorts. People pickle everything. I mean, of course, around Petersburg, I know it's pickled herring, too, so all of that stuff can go in there. I've pickled salmon, as far as that goes.
Sure. Pickled king crab tails. I love those.
Oh, yeah. They're awfully good. Yeah, I never get it.
You never get those. I know. They're few and far between these days. But, yeah, that is a reminder to folks, too. If you don't have a big garden, don't feel left out if you don't have a lot of produce to pickle, because we do have, our grocery stores. We have Scholl that comes in here, Farragut Farm. You can get all the fresh vegetables you need to pickle.
Yeah.
And from at least the grocery stores, and I know Scholl and Trading Union as well, you can special order your own case of pickles or cucumbers. You can reserve a box and have it set aside, and when you're ready, you have the timing thing, but you can do that here. It just takes a little extra planning. But
I've done the same thing in Juneau, mm-hmm. and talked to the folks and find out if they're available and when they're available, and then they've been nice enough to call me to say, come and get them. Your cucumbers are here. So that works, and it worked great. So we timed it. So it was 45 minutes from I suppose it'll be 50 minutes by the time the canner, the 10-minute water bath goes. So it'll be about 50 or 55 minutes from start to finish. We had one, Stefan was peeling garlic, and Brianne was washing pickles, and my wife was documenting this whole thing with photographs. And then we're packing and showing them off and into the canner. So very shortly, they will be done.
Great. And what...
I'll give you the recipe.
Oh, yeah.
An easy recipe. The brine recipe is very simple. Half a cup of salt, and you want pickling salt, plain salt, not iodized salt. So half a cup of salt, 1 quart of white vinegar, 2 quarts of water. That's the brine. Bring it to a boil. meantime, you've got in quart jars. Depends on how much garlic you like. We like a lot. Usually there's half a dozen or so cloves of garlic.
That's garlic.
One sprig flower head of dill. And pack the cucumbers until they squeak, and then pack a little harder. And make sure you leave room at the top, because you've got to have some head space, because they do kind of expand a little bit once you pour the hot brine over them. And for added crispness, you can add either an eighth of a teaspoon of alum, aluminum sulfate, that you get at the store in the spice area, or I have used cherry leaves, one or two leaves of cherry tree in there. Again, and that helps for the crispness factor. So you pour the boiling water, or the boiling brine, on top, up to the shoulder of the jar, warm lids, clean rings, and into the boiling water bath, and 10 minutes of processing time from the time it comes back to a boil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't, you can do it without the boiling water bath. Then you may or may not get all of them to seal perfectly, but you can just put them in the refrigerator. They'll still be fine, and you can eat them. Usually we wait about a week or 2 weeks, ideally, so that the brine, the salt, the vinegar, all that penetrates, and the flavor of the dill and the garlic and all.
How many quarts are you making today?
My daughter brought up 8 pounds, and we got 7 quarts with about four cucumbers left over. So a just perfect amount, which is one canner load.
Uh-huh.
So that's how much fit in our boiling water bath canner. And so we'll see whether we may pick some from the greenhouse down here and pack a couple more small jars and just see how they compare.
Nice. Nice. It's a perfect thing to do on a day like this when you don't really want to go outside and work in the garden.
Right. Well, we had two nice days up here, two dry days, Monday and Tuesday. So we were picking berries. We picked 2 gallons. My wife picked most of them. 2 gallons of raspberries on Monday evening. And so then before the kids showed up, we made 2 batches of freezer jam, which is really the best. I mean, it has the best flavor. That assumes, of course, that you've got the freezer space. Otherwise, if you make a cooked jam, you lose some flavor, but of course, it's easier to keep. You know, you put it in the pantry, in the case, in the jars.
Yeah.
And of course, you can ship them, you can mail them for gifts and all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got the space, the flavor of the freezer jam, it is very simple. I usually use SureGel, low sugar pectin. And that one is, mix the pectin with the sugar and a cup of water, and depending on how much fruit you have. So you bring that to a boil first. You've got crushed fruit measured to, and they've got all the recipes are in with the package of pectin. And mixed, once it comes to a boil, mix the crushed fruit in there, stir it up real thoroughly into your plastic containers, whatever you use for freezing,
mm-hmm.
which could be glass jars too. And then you leave it set overnight before you put it in the freezer. So it gets a chance to set with the pectin. And then you can usually see, you tip the containers and then into the freezer the next day, appropriately labeled, and keep a jar out for, we had fresh blueberry pancakes this morning with raspberry jam on them.
There's nothing better than fresh strawberry or raspberry jam. I just love it.
Oh, anything. I mean, mm-hmm. whether you make salmon berries or blackberries. We made some with the figs and the blackberries we got back in California a month ago. Blueberries are really good. And the huckleberries, red huckleberry or blue huckleberry or regular blueberry. Any of the fruits. Again, if you're lucky enough to run across a bunch of other fresh plums or peaches, nectarines, all of those are just great. And, again, start with the critical thing about pickling all of this stuff is that you have quality fruit. You want to have good, high-quality fruit. If you're going to be cooking it, then you can get away with some that's a little more bruised and that sort of thing. But for the fresh jam, you really need the best quality fruit to go into this for the best quality product.
Right, right. I just sent a jar of my pickled scapes up to the fair, so we'll see what happens.
Ah.
Maybe they'll come back with a ribbon.
Oh, good.
You never know.
Yeah, we'll be up there. Well, I'll try to take a look because we'll be up there next weekend.
Oh, great. Yeah, look for my skates.
Garlic in Haines. And maybe Sunday, see how much time we have before we head for the ferry on Sunday. But, maybe we got a chance last year to go over the fair and see what they had. And, see if there's still some music left, hopefully, to listen to. And something tasty of some sort. They've got various and sundry tasty booths that should not be missed.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I've never been up to the fair, but one of these days we keep saying we're going to go up there, too.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm hoping we get some decent weather. Like I said, it finally quit raining. We've gotten must be an inch and a half of rain overnight and during the day today. So we've had enough. And, of course, my daughter's up here from Southern California where they've had a lot of rain. She was hoping for sunshine. I'm hoping for sunshine. Forecast is iffy on that one.
Yeah, that's right.
But that all of the sunshine helps, too, in improving the flavor of the berries. Now, since we started picking blueberries 2 weeks ago, they've probably doubled in size. The ones that are still on the bushes here are huge. The blueberries and the huckleberries are just so large. More sun would give them more sugar and more flavor, but still, they are really terrific, and there's no lack of quantity here. Surprisingly, no bears in the yard. I suppose there's so many berries out there in the woods that the bears are pretty happy. And the nice thing is the salmon are coming up the streams. My daughter saw lots of chum salmon today in one of the creeks out near the shrine. So hopefully that keeps happy bears out of our yard.
Ed, I think we have a phone call, and I want to remind folks that you can call in, too, if you have a question. Maybe you want to talk about berries or cucumbers, whatever it may be. Call us here, 772-3808. Welcome, caller on line one.
Well, good afternoon. You're talking about berries, so I wanted to ask you about salmon berries. And my question happens to be about cutting back the salmon berry bushes, because we've got salmon berries on our property, and they're about 10 or 11 feet tall now, and they didn't produce as many berries this year.
And what you might want to consider, and pruning is definitely worthwhile, and what you might consider, I don't know how big a patch you have, but I've done this even with raspberries that have kind of gone wild in patches that haven't been taken care of. Cut a path through them. Just take out whether you have a chainsaw is a little hesitant on that. But if you've got some loppers and pruners, cut yourself a path through, or maybe a couple of paths even. What that will help do is let more light down into the lower parts of the plant. It'll allow better air circulation in there, and you will get a lot of sprouting from that stuff where you cut them back. But even just like, which is what we do with raspberries, we normally cut back the branches that gave us fruit this year because they will die. Now, with salmon berries, they will continue to grow and bear fruit again, but it's the newer shoots tend to give better and bigger fruit. So otherwise, you can thin them. Go in there again, wait till the leaves fall off.
That was my question.
The largest diameter stems. Leave some of the new shoots that, just like you say, they're growing big and tall. And you can even shorten them. You mentioned about them being so tall as they're difficult to pick. Again, if you've got good soil, like for raspberries too, some people will top their raspberry plants at 5 feet or 6 feet, a foot or two above wires that are supporting them, which is what I have. So, again, then from there, next year, so if you do that this fall, next year they will put out their new flowering and fruiting branches a little bit lower, so they'll be a bit more accessible to you.
Okay, so you recommend pruning them or thinning them right after the leaves fall off? Is that a good time?
That's either that or first thing in the spring. Once the ground starts to thaw, you don't want to really prune them in, December, January, February. That although I don't think it would hurt the salmon berries very much. We normally don't do much midwinter pruning. Usually it's either fall time, yeah, like just after leaf fall, or early spring, say March, before the leaves start to come out. And then from there, you'll get your new growth will come out from the stems. And again, because you've pruned a certain percentage out, then the berries that you get should be larger also. Because you've still got the same amount of roots, you've got the same amount of nutrients there going into somewhat fewer fruit. So you should have bigger berries than next year.
Okay. Yeah, because we've got like two patches, and one patch that the bushes are not very tall, and they got loaded with berries, and the other patch, they're really tall, and they didn't get very many berries on them at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, look at, I mean, I don't know if they're all in full sun. That makes a difference, too. I hesitate to recommend fertilizing. I mean, I do fertilize our raspberries and our blackberries. I know some folks do. You fertilize their blueberry patch. You can use, for those at least, you can use the same fertilizer, like a rhododendron, an acid-loving plant fertilizer, a light sprinkling. It's really a little too late to do that now, but you can do that in the springtime. But I hesitate to recommend making the salmon berries grow any more than they are already growing. You know, you could do a very light sprinkling, if that, not much more than that, of either compost or something like that.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right. If you'd like to call, 772-3808 is the number, or 888-772-3808. And it looks like we might have another call here. Line 3, welcome to In the Garden.
Hi. I have a question regarding rhododendrons. I was told that when you have kind of an ailing one that's got a lot of brown leaves and just overall doesn't look real healthy, to give it a dose of Epsom salts, and I was wondering, Ed, what you think of that.
Yes. Epsom salts, particularly in the spring, but even now, is fine. Epsom salt has, or is, magnesium sulfate. And particularly if you, in the springtime, when you look at your rhodies, and they are on kind of yellowish green rather than nice deep green. So that magnesium is what you want for the plants. It helps them turn more green, and it isn't very much. I mean, it is a half a teaspoon in a gallon of water. So you buy one of those containers of Epsom salts at the store, you've got pretty much a lifetime supply for you and probably most of your neighbors. but about a gallon of this solution for one rhodie, unless it's a really large one. You know, if it's 4 or 5 feet in diameter or something like that, it'd be enough. A bigger one, you might be able to give it more. So that'll help in the yellowing to make them turn more green. And you mentioned a lot of brown leaves. Is that right?
Yeah, with a lot of brown spots on them.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is a fungus. That is usually a fungus disease. And I don't have a good... Southeast Alaska is a great place for growing fungus. I mean, on us, in our boots and in other places that we don't want to talk about. But on leaves, in our greenhouse, everywhere. Some varieties of rhododendrons are more susceptible to it than others. That one, if you've got... Check your local retailers for a fungicide, and that is labeled. Again, look at the papers that are usually attached to the container, and it'll say what kind of plants it's recommended to use this stuff for. And go by the directions, and again, most of these, like a systemic fungicide, that again, you mix it up in water, and you, same thing like with the Epsom salts, you pour it in, and it is taken up by the plant. There are some that you can spray on it, but once you see the brown leaves, it's too late to save those leaves. So you're better off using this systemic fungicide, again, usually early in the springtime, and then it's taken up by the plant, and then it helps. I mean, there's insecticides that'll do the same thing. They actually make the leaves poisonous to the insects chewing. Well, it's kind of like it makes the leaves poisonous to the fungus setting also. But you need to look, do a little bit of research on rhododendron fungicide, you know, if you go online. And then you should get some recommendations and then try to find the stuff locally, hopefully.
Okay, and so those leaves that do have quite a few brown spots, should you just snip them off?
Yeah, you can certainly do that, and then and dispose of them, burn them, put them off in the garbage, get rid of them. Don't even throw them in your compost.
Okay.
And at the same time, like we've talked about this with other places too, do cleanup work. Rake away underneath the rhododendron, rake away the old dead leaves, because the fungus can overwinter in those leaves, and then come springtime, it will get splashed back up onto the new leaves that form and reinfect them. So you can even go to, rake away all of that stuff, and then bring in some new bark mulch, and put that, the roadies really like having the bark mulch, and again, that will help cover up any of the fungus spores that are in the soil. So clean up all the time. You know, it's just like anything else, if you've got bad-looking leaves on your plants, goes for house plants, garden plants, remove the leaves, get them out of there. So they aren't doing the plant any good once they start to turn yellow.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Ed.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for
calling.
Okay,
bye-bye.
And we do have another call, I believe, Ed. Today is the day for calls. Let's take the caller online.
People are inside avoiding the rain, like I am.
They are. They're not out gardening today. Caller on line one, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Speaking of roadies, my roadie, both of them, got all their new leaves, and I can see the little flower buds. They're all over the place, but I really don't think they're going to be doing anything this year. I think it's a little late. And so my question is, why didn't they bloom? And my other question is, at the end of the season, should I go ahead and pick all of these little things off?
Okay, there are certain, well, again, this is weather related.
Right, okay.
When we got this wonderful weather this spring, and hopefully you had good flowers this year, although I didn't expect as good as the previous year because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers that form this year, the buds that are forming this year are for next year's flowers. We can, if we get good weather, we can get, especially on those early blooming, small early blooming roadies like Ramapo, which has the bluish purple flowers,
mm-hmm.
very often we'll get a fair amount of reblooming in late summer, fall.
Oh.
I anticipate seeing some of that this year. And there are, but again, I'm looking at some of those that I have. I see there are very nice flower buds there. I'm hoping they don't all try to open this year. That they save some for next year. So if you see them, if you see some of these, the plants, the flowers opening, enjoy them. There really isn't anything you should do as far as picking them off or not.
Okay.
Just leave them and enjoy them. These are bonus flowers pretty much at this point.
Okay, because they're all over the place, but I didn't know what they were going to be doing for wintertime, so that was my question.
Yeah, those early, and again, so we can see the flower buds already that will be giving us flowers hopefully next year.
Okay.
Both the big leaved ones as well as the small leaved ones too.
Right.
So that's why, unless you really, really want to make your rhododendron bush smaller, if you prune at this time of year, you are pruning away flower buds that you would have for next year.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I'm enjoying your recipes. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Ed, it's just about time to close up the show, and thanks to all the callers who called. I want to remind folks that Ed will be here the weekend of August 14th with the School and Community Garden and KFSK, and we'll be scheduling a potluck with Ed where you can meet him and have a meal. Also, he'll be at the... He'll be at the market that weekend, which is the 15th of August, And he'll also do a couple workshops or a workshop at the school and community garden on fall planting, I believe. And then on Sunday the 16th, we have the In the Garden with Ed Byarski tour of gardens in Petersburg. That's coming up on that day from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. And we'll let you know how to get your tickets for that coming up. So very exciting to have Ed come here to Petersburg once again. Looking forward to it, Ed.
I am too. And like you were saying, you're trying to get people to sign up for the garden tours, and I was mentioning that we might, well, I might mention it anyway, you know, as we're driving along, we suddenly see, wow, look at that nice garden. We ought to stop here, and
we might just show
15
up.
Or 35 people descend upon your garden, invited or not. I suppose we can be nice to stay and just look. You know, drive by gardening. You know, we may do some of that on that that Sunday.
We're going to have fun, and we've got hors d'oeuvres. We'll also probably get a hold of some wine, you know, at some of the stops. So we're going to have a good time.
Right. Just as long as we have a designated driver, we should be good.
We've got that under control, too, I think. So, all right. Well, Ed, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back within the in the garden next week, unless you're going to be up in Haines.
No, I'll be back. No, I'm just going to be going up on Friday, and we'll be back on Sunday.
All right.
So we'll be here.
Okay, and good luck with the pickles.
All right, we're going to have some fun. Yeah, we've been eating some of our more vintage pickles already.
Okay. All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye, Mindy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love.
Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring impatient hanging bags and new planters, as well as bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes.
It's 12 minutes after 3 o'clock. Coming up next, we have High Country Music with Steve Barry. Coming up next.